There are a lot of hot topics for HR this year, and prioritizing what to do first is probably what most companies are struggling with right now. This is the month for goal setting, so we're going to help you plan some of your HR goals and share the top 10 HR trends for 2024.
Welcome to the Coach's Nook, a taste of no-nonsense HR with a sprinkle of coaching. I'm Anna Maria.
And I'm Athena. We are two passionate HR professionals who love to discuss all things HR, anything from coaching employees and managers to policies and compliance, and anything in between that people might find hard to talk about.
Every episode, we'll be sharing our experiences, practical tools and techniques, and real talk that will help guide the way to fulfilling your HR needs.
So grab your favorite drink and join us for the conversation.
Welcome to the Coach's Nook and Happy New Year. In this episode, we're going to list the top 10 trends according to McLean & Company, and we'll pick six to really dive into. I would say they're our top favorites. We feel that we'd be here for an awful long time if we spoke to all of them in great detail, so we're only going to go with six for now. Grab a paper and pen, and let's get started.
There isn't a whole lot of change from last year, and what's not surprising based on the labor market right now is that recruiting is once again first on the list. So here we go, drum roll. The top 10 HR trends for 2024 are 1, recruiting. Number 2, providing a great employee experience. Number 3, controlling labor costs. Number 4, developing the organization's leaders. Number 5, supporting change. Number 6, enabling innovation. Number 7, fostering an environment of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. Number 8, facilitating data-driven decisions. Number 9, enabling learning and development. And number 10, rapidly moving internal employees to staff strategic priorities. As Athena mentioned, we'll dive into the top 5 and we'll add number 8, which is facilitating data-driven decisions. Okay, number 1, recruiting. I will start with recruiting. You know, that's my favorite topic.
It's everyone's favorite topic, Anna Maria.
Exactly. All kidding aside, the challenges in recruiting in 2024 are not any different than they were in 2023. These challenges, unfortunately, will not be short-lived. They will continue beyond 2024. They are shortage of talent in some industries, and we're seeing this in technology and healthcare, for example. Second one is growing skills mismatch. Technical skills is a big one that is lacking. However, beyond technical skills, it is the soft skills such as adaptability, problem solving, and communication. With the right skills, workers can adapt and change as quickly as our environment is changing. Managers should be willing to train the employees on certain skills and not expect the perfect candidate with all skills they are looking for. It is very rare to find a candidate that has 100% of what you're looking for. You need to discern what skills you can train and what you cannot so that it increases your chances of finding a suitable candidate.
Absolutely, Anna Maria. And as for another challenge is polarized opinions that we're seeing on work flexibility. And this is truly a topic that can be discussed for hours on end. There's no clear-cut answer on whether return to office, or RTO as we call it, is the best option for organizations or if employees should continue to work from home. Flexibility should be offered and discussed with each individual employee and should be decided based on what is in the best interest of both parties involved. Now, we're going to dive into that a little bit more later on in the episode.
I believe this will be relevant for a while, Athena.
Yeah, me too.
The next one up is increased time to hire. I experienced this personally while I am recruiting. It seems that it is longer to find candidates to interview as you're rifling through hundreds of resumes to find potential candidates, or some job postings don't even attract many candidates. Once you get to the short list stage, many candidates want remote work or a hybrid schedule that has them in the office maybe 1 or 2 days a week. Then the next challenge is the availability of the hiring manager to interview and then make a decision. Oh, and I love the hiring manager that can't make a decision. This all has added time to the recruiting cycle.
Yeah, getting to the offer stage in the recruitment process can be extremely frustrating and very long. I mean, hiring decisions need to be made quicker, and I really think we've touched upon this in a previous episode.
Yes, we did.
The other challenge that we are facing in recruiting is that technology is constantly evolving, and the latest and greatest technology is AI. Although many, including myself, hesitated in jumping in, it doesn't really look like it's going away anytime soon. It's a huge part of our work life and in many ways is facilitating how we do business. One of the best ways to stand out as a candidate and as an employee is to just embrace the change. Teach yourself or take a course on how to utilize AI in your work, and this will make you stand out in a very busy crowd of people who are already utilizing the newest technology. I would use this opportunity to your advantage and make yourself indispensable by demonstrating that your knowledge and ability are valuable to an organization.
Touché. Believe it or not, I've jumped on the AI bandwagon. To be honest, it does help me get started in writing a policy or looking for an example of certain types of documents. What you do find still requires thought and strategic thinking to take in all the nuances such as culture, leadership, mindset, etc.
Right, absolutely. The number two trend on our list is providing a great employee experience. There has been a big focus around recruiting and the whole candidate experience, but it's important to recognize that our current employees matter too. And we must implement strategies to keep them, especially now that turnover is on the rise. And according to a recent Mercer survey, the voluntary turnover rate in Canada jumped from 12.4% to 15.5%, with flexibility and company dissatisfaction cited as some of the main reasons for employees leaving. Now, please keep in mind that an average turnover rate in a company is around 10%. So anything above that indicates some underlying issues that should be addressed. So a 15.5 turnover rate to me speaks volumes. Companies have no choice but to try and retain their people and keep them happy.
Exactly. However, turnover is not always a bad thing. I see it also as an opportunity to shake things up and look to make sure backfilling the position is the right thing to do. Maybe by restructuring, you need different talent than the person who left. So don't immediately backfill. So Athena, what does a great employee experience look like? How do you keep people happy?
Great question. A great employee experience is not only about retaining employees, but also about building a strong, engaged, and skilled workforce that contributes to the long-term success of the company. A good employee experience will help you save money, keep your knowledge and expertise from walking out the door. It's good for employee morale. It's great for customer relationships. And it's really essential for succession planning. You give them choice and flexibility. Flexibility is not just a nice to have anymore. It's become a need. So be prepared to accept that flexibility will look different in different areas. It's less about offering the same flexibility to everyone and more about finding flexible work options that can work for specific groups of employees and specific roles. So flexible options and working from home is not for all. That's kind of the starting point that we should keep in mind, which means that solutions are going to be different from one person to the next and from one role to the next. There won't be a one-size-fits-all solution.
I do agree with you. This is where HR needs to get creative and be able to offer up different options that are right for the business. Another way to create a great employee experience is to design development plans, focusing on critical talent and critical positions within your organization. Some quick examples are to let employees participate in a high visibility project, offer key internal or external training, give them a promotion, do a project within another function or another department, become active in a professional association, and assign them a mentor and or coach.
Right. Also, I think doing stay interviews are another great way to gauge how employees are feeling. I mean, think about it. It's always better to do a stay interview with a high performer than it is to do an exit interview with them. And stay interviews are simple, one-on-one touch points that obtain real-time feedback. They can be as often as once a week or once a month. And what's important here is to ask the right questions and to initiate a conversation. And I remember one of the best questions I was once asked in a one-on-one meeting with my manager was, "Where am I a bottleneck and how can I help?" I loved that question because, you know, it means that it's not always the employee who's holding things back in the production line. And if a manager can admit to being the reason for things not moving forward, then that really allows for a more open and honest discussion in the future. It really stuck with me.
Yeah, and that's an excellent example of a great leader showing vulnerability and asking how they can support you. I love it. Next up is controlling labor costs, which is nothing new. Headcount is always the largest overhead cost to running a business. After recently coming out of the pandemic, which shook the world both economically and socially, controlling labor costs has become heightened. Also here in Ontario, among other provinces, minimum wage is increased each year. A rise in minimum wage affects labor costs directly. Some businesses cannot support this. For example, the service industry, as most of the staff is close to minimum wage. The rise in minimum wage also has a ripple effect known as pay compression over time, meaning there's little difference in pay between employees regardless of difference in their respective jobs, skills, and abilities. So as minimum wage earners earn more, the gap between the different wage bands tightens. Often than not, when the minimum wage goes up, so do other salaries to make sure that differential is kept.
Yes, absolutely right. And you know, HR is uniquely positioned to leverage labor cost data because we understand what's important to employees. So by tapping in to see where labor costs are best meeting the business needs, when we reframe labor costs by remembering that jobs can present costs to employees, such as dress code, time away from family, for example. These are all opportunity costs for employees, which have a direct impact on employee engagement and job satisfaction. If employers create these costs, we consciously find ways to make up for them in compensation or benefits.
Athena, other opportunity costs are commuting, which is increasing with returning to the office, work-life imbalance, which becomes exacerbated during the pandemic as employees were working longer than 8 hours a day, and not to mention inflation, which has driven up living expenses such as housing and food. The unfortunate thing that may happen if labor costs need to be controlled is downsizing, resulting in layoffs. HR plays a pivotal role in determining who to lay off and who to retain. HR would help analyze the skills inventory that is necessary to retain to keep the business functional and profitable.
And this is where partnering with HR becomes instrumental. So, next on the trends list is developing the organization's leaders. And this is probably one of my favorite topics, and probably because it's so misunderstood. Employees get hung up on titles and promotions and often forget that management titles and managerial responsibilities also include a few more headaches, especially if you're managing people. They don't realize that managing people and all the problems that usually come with it are not necessarily what they bargained for. And to their defense, companies don't really do a very good job in preparing them for those roles.
I see it all the time, Athena. Employees are promoted because they're there the longest or they're best at what they do. For example, the best machine operator. And then you see, okay, they're now a supervisor. To me, this is a double-edged sword. One, they have not received the proper training, as you mentioned. And two, they are now the co-worker supervisors that can lead to an uncomfortable situation if training is not provided.
Yes, Anna Maria, we definitely see this all the time. Yesterday you were my coworker and today you're my boss. And that's when all the employee issues begin. We see sabotage, we see disgruntled employees, jealousy, low morale, lack of trust within the teams, and so on. If the organization had taken the time to create a proper managerial career path and offered leadership training to those put in those leadership roles, then most, if not none of these situations would occur. It is the organization's responsibility to develop leaders, managers, and to support them in managing their people. Give them the right tools and watch them flourish.
It is certainly worth it for the organization to make the time and commit to developing a leadership program with the proper training, coaching, and mentoring. The next trend is supporting change. As the saying goes, the only constant in life is change. Change is inevitable. It can be a transformational change caused by an external force, such as we just experienced with the pandemic, causing the business model to change for most organizations to stay afloat. The organizations that were able to pivot were the ones that got through this change. Then there is transitional change that happens most times within an organization. As with any change, an organization wants to be able to consciously respond rather than impulsively react without thinking. I call the latter a knee-jerk reaction.
Of course, it's better to be proactive than reactive.
HR will have the greatest impact on the strategy used to manage change. Athena, why don't you start us off with the strategies to manage change?
Sure. First is put people first, because people can fuel change and sustain its momentum. Most change initiatives fail when the people involved don't understand, believe in, or engage in the change. Another one is working with the change management model. Keep in mind that you are up against company culture, organizational momentum, and human psychology to resist change. So it's best to use a tool and a model. The other one is to empower employees through communication. This is so important because a vision for change is only as powerful as the communication that supports it. Cast that vision. And then there's active leadership. A recent Prosky survey cited active and visible executive sponsorship as the top reason change initiatives succeed. The problem, though, is that many leaders don't understand the vital role they play in change.
Athena, before I continue with the list, I want to stress how important leadership is in implementing change. Sometimes you get organizations that the leaders aren't involved in it and they expect their teams to do it all. And employees notice that. So they say, hey, the leader's not engaged, why should I be?
Exactly.
The next strategy to managing change is make change compelling and exciting. Employees can better understand the rationale behind a change when organizations prioritize purposeful, clear, and consistent communication. The next is pay attention to high and low points and momentum. During high points, celebrate the win. When at low points, reset communication strategies to listen to employee input and build trust and support. And the last one is don't ignore resistance. Change resistance is poisonous to an organization's transformation. As Psychology 101, what's in it for me? The earlier on you identify it, the better you can manage and mitigate it. Look for signs such as inaction, procrastination, withholding information, feedback through surveys, and hold input sessions. We are next discussing the trend that scored number 8 on the list, which is facilitating data-driven decisions. This is not new to 2024. I can remember this being a priority many years ago. To be honest, decisions based on data can bring more credibility to HR, right, Athena?
Absolutely, absolutely.
There's a saying that I've always loved, trust in God, all others bring data. When HR is sitting at the round table, maybe more so in the past, HR was considered white, fluffy stuff by several leaders. Well, data, be it qualitative or quantitative, gives HR credibility, especially with the CFO, who has direct impact on decision making, as most decisions usually require capital investment and incurs costs.
Of course, Anna Maria, data-driven decision-making in HR is a way for HR professionals to add more value to the business and impact the bottom line as well. It goes far beyond calculating just turnover or retention rates. These metrics tend to be reactive rather than proactive. However, it's helpful to know this data so that you can adjust your people strategy to support the business strategy. Duh. And HR professionals need to be better storytellers in order to connect the data with driving strategic business outcomes. So, what is the story behind the data, Anna Maria?
Storytelling, or the story, articulates what is going on in the business and how one can pivot an approach or tactic. One can use data for retention strategies, and we have mentioned retention several times in this episode, so it's a good example. Another example is employee engagement data. That can direct strategy and leadership actions in direct response to the data from the survey. So I am sure everyone's getting the drift.
Yep, I think so. Okay, so before we sign off, let's recap the 4 trends that we did not dive into. And they are enabling innovation, fostering an environment of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, enabling learning and development, and rapidly moving internal employees to staff strategic priorities. There you have it. That's the list, and that's quite a tall order for HR, if you ask me.
Absolutely a tall order. As we do with all other episodes, our HR tip is keep your ear to the ground to know what trends are happening so you can proactively respond to support your organization that you serve. Thank you for joining the conversation. If you want more information or simply want to pick our brain, go to thecoachesnook.com.
And if you love this podcast, we would love for you to like, subscribe, and share. And remember, we are people first, and it's important to focus on the human aspect of HR and lead our organizations with heart and intuition.
Until next time.